Welcome to Mental Health Success Stories with John Troutman. Here we provide a space for authentic conversations about real-world mental health challenges. We discuss mental health solutions with national industry leaders. We aim to reduce stigma and increase awareness around mental health issues. We will inspire you to take action and improve your own mental health. We will share and promote realistic mental health solutions that anyone can implement. This podcast is provided to you for information purposes only to encourage a broad public understanding of various mental health topics. The podcast may represent the views and opinions of the author, host, and/or guests, and not necessarily the views and opinions of Pyramid Healthcare. Information contained in this podcast should not be relied upon as medical advice or as a substitute for medical advice. This podcast does not establish any doctor-patient relationship and is not a substitute for individual clinical judgment. If you need medical advice or you are experiencing a medical emergency, call your doctor or 911 immediately. And now here is our host of Mental Health Success Stories, John Troutman.
Hey, welcome to today's show, everyone. I'm so excited again to be interviewing a leader in our industry. And Andrew McNerlin today is our guest. Andrew is National Sales Executive with Script Sourcing, has become a very good friend. You might have seen him on LinkedIn, and is going to join us and talk about his mental health challenge. And again, if you're new to this podcast, every single podcast episode is purposed to inspire you, challenge you, make you think outside the box when it comes to your mental health, but ultimately help you, friends, family, even your employer groups, take action for those areas of your life where you might be having that mental health challenge. There's a lot of stigma out there. If we can do anything to reduce that stigma and help somebody to take action for their mental health, that's what this podcast is all about. So without further ado, let us introduce Andrew McNerlin here today. Andrew, thanks for joining us.
Welcome, John. Absolutely my pleasure, my friend. I mean that sincerely, my friend, not my peer, not my colleague, my bud.
Yeah, it's amazing how that in a very short amount of time we've gotten close, and it's a wonderful thing with LinkedIn, even before meeting you in person there at Benefits Pro. For those who may not know you, maybe they just saw you passing across their feed in LinkedIn, help us understand Andrew McNerlin professionally. What's a snapshot of what's been going on and what's your trajectory looking like?
Yeah, right. So I graduated college in Nashville, Tennessee. I put everything I owned in my Ford Taurus 3 days after I got my diploma, and I drove to downtown Seattle, Washington, and I lived 5 blocks from the Space Needle and started my first career. I sold mattresses, so puffy white rectangles is what I like to call them, for Sealy Posturepedic. I did that for 7 years, loved the company, did very well. And then the insurance industry stole me. Is actually my best friend in the world. His brother-in-law worked for an ancillary carrier in the Dallas area. We were at a birthday party for his kid. He's like, oh, you know, typical salesman. He's like, I heard you're doing really well. Tell me about that. And so Todd stole me away. My wife and I just got married. We moved to Dallas, started ancillary. So, you know, dental, vision, life, disability, all that fun stuff. Did that for 5 years. Left the industry, came back about 5 years ago with a TPA out of Mississippi, amazing company. And then then I found an opportunity with my current company back in late January of this year. So I'm still drinking from a fire hose, as you know, John, trying to learn a new product and program and process. But it's been a fun ride so far for 4 months, and I'm enjoying putting my shirt and tie on every day going to work.
That's excellent. That's excellent. And again, it's been great to get to know you and to get to actually spend some time with you down at Benefits Pro. That was fantastic. And with you and Gary, and you guys are doing a great work across the country. You really are. And it's exciting to be a part of that, even in a small way. But also to have you all as a strategic partner is a wonderful, wonderful thing. Hey, we're going to jump right in. You know some of my past. You know that I tend to be all in with whatever I'm doing, and especially those things I'm passionate about. I also tend to burn out if I'm not careful. I've had to learn the hard way in business and life. But we're going to jump right into Andrew's life and say, you know, what mental health challenge have you worked through, or maybe you're still working on, that you'd like to share with our audience today?
Yeah, I spent some time, John, when you approached me a while back about, you know, would you be willing to do this? And of course, for you, yes, unequivocally, yes. I didn't really care what you wanted to talk about. But I looked back over my past, and you're a big music guy. I know that. You know, and I told you I was watching you and Spencer's podcast, and Spencer's a big music guy. Now, if you spent time with Spencer, his music is scares me. Like Rage Against the Machine is like a warm up for that guy. He's on a different level, and I love him to death. But you know, I think one of the things about music to me is it time stamps our life. And so the songs that, you know, a Beatles song might be, a specific memory to you, or a Led Zeppelin song, and I'm not trying to date us, but these are some of my favorite bands as well. My favorite band happens to be Pearl Jam, but I remember Pearl Jam 10 came out. I was living in San Antonio, Texas. I have a four-year-old older stepsister, Dawn, and we were at our house and we were in a bit of an argument. And she goes, well, I don't remember the context, but she basically uncovered the fact that I was adopted. And I didn't know that. So I'm an 11-year-old kid.
Wow.
Never met my real dad. And my sister out of anger, unfortunately, that's what 11-year-olds do to each other, right? So that one kind of got dropped on me. And I went and approached my mom and we talked a little bit about it. And it seemed to be very painful, as probably that scenario might be. Right. For my mother. And so I tended never to ask a lot of questions about it because I felt like it hurt my mom too much emotionally to talk. And I just kind of rolled with it, man. And I buried it. And I would a lot of times, and you know about me, I played, Division I athletics on a scholarship, and I used that fuel as fire to drive me in athletics. And when I needed to get some of it out, I might hit a guy a little harder than he might've deserved, but I just buried it down deep. And I never talked to my adopted father is Jim. He's my dad. I've never known any difference since I was, until that instance. And I will always consider him that. I almost wish I had his genetics and his DNA, but I don't. And that's okay. So I dealt with that. And then as I became a man and I grew more into adulthood, I'm a man of faith, as I know you are. I think we both stand on the same line, for that one. And I went to a program at my church. It was called Regen, and it was amazing. It was free, which is even more amazing, but it was for everybody struggling with something, addiction, alcohol, drugs, porn, adultery, whatever you name it, whatever your sin was, come one, come all, no JFZ, judgment free zone. And it was awesome. And so I went through as a year long program. I did it with 12 guys and I went really trying to slay that dragon of what I would now refer to, and because you've been in the cloth, an orphan spirit, right? That I didn't even know what that term meant. And it has a sense of me for my entire life feeling a sense of abandonment. Hmm. And when I feel abandoned by individuals, it's crushing. It's at like the two first girls I ever loved didn't choose me. Mm-hmm. And it was crushing. It was another sense of abandonment. So I've carried that burden with me my entire life. And do you want me to stop and ask a question or?
No, I'll go back. You're doing fine. Thank you.
Okay. So about 3 years, two years ago, my 41st birthday is the end of January. On February 2nd, I got baptized. I had realized talking to my mother, I had never accomplished that. I went through communion and some other things. We were Methodists growing up. So there's, certain religions have certain, milestones and rituals that you undertake. But I never been baptized, and that was important to me. So my mom flew in. The guy that married me also baptized me, which was really cool and was kind of my spiritual mentor. Unfortunately, he has abandoned me since then. That's been another tough one to swallow. I get it. And maybe we'll get into that as to why. So my mom flew in and I set my mom down. And it is part of my healing and therapy. I just said, no more bullshit, no lies. What happened? And I realized I was going to get my mom's perspective. And I know she's probably, it's hard to remember that was, I'm 43. So that was a long time ago. Hmm. And she, I think sometimes when we have pain in our lives, we will bury it mentally because we don't want to revisit it.
Hmm.
So I understood if my mom had some fuzzy spots around what happened. And the story that I was told was that my dad, my birth father punched my mom in the stomach, trying to, force a miscarriage, so to speak. and didn't want me. And some of that was not necessarily true from what my mother told me. So I lived a good long while thinking I was abandoned. I lived a good long while thinking my real father didn't love me and didn't want me in this world. He, from what I understand, died of drugs and addiction out in California when I was 13. And I say that because now I want to circle back to Pearl Jam. Is my favorite song, and one of their most famous songs is called Alive. And it's talking about a kid that went through a scenario that I did. So I really identified with that. And maybe that's why I gravitated towards them as a band. But it just was something that time stamped my life and helped me through that through my formative years in the middle school and high school era. Still love them today. But, you know, I carried that a good long while. And circle back to COVID has been very tough on me mentally. And my relationship with my parents is strained yet once again because of our beliefs around vaccinations and those types of things. Yes, I have been in the OR multiple times assisting surgery. So I know about sterility. I know about infectious disease. I probably have a heightened sensitivity to it because of that knowledge base and experience that I have. But long story short, my parents and I, my dad sent me a text out of anger, unfortunately, that said, hey, you know, y'all have a good life. Tell our grandkids we love them. And so here we are. I thought I got rid of it. And now I feel that sense of abandonment yet again from another dad. I'm not bashing my dad. We'll get through it. We've since then, we talk, we visited, you know, he's apologized. So he's done everything he can. I just have to have my heart heal a little bit to reconcile to a level that we're all comfortable with, but I'm working through that. So that the orphan spirit and abandonment has been one of my, I have plenty of challenges. We all do. We're beautiful messes as human beings and creatures. We really are, all of us. But that would be the one that I would present to the audience today that I have continued to try to navigate through. I'm going to shut up. You talk.
No, that's powerful. And you mentioned a number of things there that I think can resonate with a lot of people. Again, most of our audience is going to be advisors, benefit specialists, highly motivated people. It's very easy for them to just drill it down and have the mentality of, I'm just going to plow through. Now, I want to make this very clear. It's so important that we have that mindset of, we got to keep moving forward, but not addressing it or not trying to leverage it for a greater outcome is a different thing. So good for you for having that mindset of, you know what, you're going to leverage that. And I can't remember your exact wording, but basically you were saying, if I'm in pain, I at least want to get a reward from this. And that really resonates with me. I had that same mindset going through burnout. I forced myself some days to get on a treadmill or an elliptic or go for a walk when I had Lyme disease so bad I could hardly even get out of bed. I was just going to force myself to make some progress no matter what that looked like. So, well, from what you're saying and talking to our audience here today, again, having that positive mindset of taking action. So I guess my next question for you is, what are some actions you have taken? I don't know if there was an aha moment. I mean, you were told at a young age, right? That's a shock factor, right? So a lot of our guests have had these aha moments or come to Jesus moments, if you will, like, wow, I got to do something here, right? For you, it wasn't that you necessarily did it from self-awareness. Somebody else told you, right? So what are some things that you have done to better manage that feeling of abandonment, that feeling of being placed as a second or having that sense of disappointment, if you will? What are some things that you've done over the years?
Yeah. And I think I alluded to a little bit of them, right? So when I was, when I was in Texas a few years ago and I flew my mom in, it was around the baptism. I wanted her to be a part of that. But confronting a parent, is always a tough thing. You got four kids, and I've got two young, I got an 8 and a 4. So Lord knows what I'm up against in 10 years. What they bring to my altar in terms of me trying to help them navigate through. But I think it was important to have an honest, candid discussion, even though I have a very protected nature. I think as you become a father, that heightens itself. But, you know, I was fortunate enough to be, nominated captain in college. And I think some of that is just because I'm kind of a bigger guy. I'm 6'3" and all that, but I would protect my guys, from other foes. So if you hit somebody on my team, I would find you in the next 90 minutes and we would talk. And so I kind of just been, I've been ingrained with that, you know, that genetic, that gene. And so I always protected my mom and just said, well, my emotional state isn't more important than my mother's. And if it's just hard for her to talk about it, I can deal with this. And I carried that, you know, Atlas, I carried that for a really long time. And then I, you know, I went to Regen, it was that program for a year. And that was, I had other things going on, but I focused on that. I did see a therapist while I was in Frisco. That was very, very hard for me. I'm stubborn. I'm a guy. I'm proud. My father was military. So we don't cry. We don't show emotion. It's just, you know, how he was raised. I don't blame him at all. It's just, that's what he knows. And that's what he can default to. I think I've seen my dad cry three times, maybe in my you know, tenured career with him. So I went and saw a therapist. That was unfortunately a negative experience for me. But victory on that is because my dad sent that text and sent me in a spiral last year. And I literally last night, John, filled out paperwork to go see a psychologist up here in Northwest Arkansas, because I just, my wife's like, what's your triance? It's back. It's not working. And So we moved from Dallas to Arkansas. It's been an amazing move for my family. I do not regret a second of it. It's been the worst for me because I don't have my men's group. I don't have my soccer team. I'm on an island up here. And if you know anything about isolation, and I think you do, because I think I know a little bit about your past, that's not a good thing for anybody. And so I now have realized I don't have anybody to talk to. And you and Spencer kind of covered on this on your podcast. And it sucks that I have to pay money to talk to somebody. Like, I'm cheap. I just know it about me. And I'd rather spend that money on my kids. But I'm to a point where, yeah, I need to go get someone else to help me with some of those triggers and get rid of that, again, orphan spirit. Because I'm to be honest, I'm quite sick of it. So that's victory to me. I hopefully be able to see this guy, you know, next week. But I literally did all my paperwork and submitted it online last night. So I thought that was very, very fun karma. That you and I would be on the Zoom today talking about stuff like this.
Well, that's excellent. And I mean this sincerely. Congratulations to you for being self-aware, for being open to take action. Not everybody is. Denial is a real thing, right? We can just say, oh, it's not a big deal. I can do that. I can just keep pushing. And again, a lot of our audience are make fantastic snowplows to get work done. Right. Yep. And I'll be again transparent here and say, you know, I love the whole concept of GSD, you know, of, hey, we're just going to get after it. We're going to drill it down. We're going to make progress today. But that needs to include ourselves. We can't exclude ourselves from the equation. So good for you for taking that action. Not everybody has that same self-awareness. So I guess my next question, looking back here, if I can go drill down a little bit deeper, who are some key people in your life? I mean, to have those things happen to you regarding your parents, right? That's a very personal thing. Those are can be very damaging for the long haul. You're taking those steps, but who are some key people in your inner circle, if you don't mind sharing, that you've counted on? Because we oftentimes think we're alone, and that can really hinder us from taking those steps. Have there been key people that have been a part of that process as well? I mean, you mentioned attending different things, and that's fantastic. You mentioned a counselor, but is there anybody else that played a role in encouraging you through that time and through this time?
Yeah. Again, my spiritual mentor, we'll just call him Tommy. You know, he, again, married me, baptized me, and he was put in a tough spot because, so I've known this man. I worked for him as a janitor, actually had a janitor company. And so I've cleaned toilets. I'm not proud. I watched my dad do that. You know, my dad, just like you, were a workaholic. You said your superpower the other day was persistence. I love that. I feel like I have some of my own at times. But I, you know, worked for Tommy and all that, but Tommy was also in my dad's men's group. And so he's now sitting on a fence where he's trying to help me and mentor me, but he's also hearing things from my parents. And so that's a tough position to be put in. And so when he basically de-identified with me, I got it. You know, I almost wondered when that shoe would drop, because that's not a fair place to put him. But I did text him yesterday. He turned 65. And I just said, hey, I hope you're well. I haven't spoken to him in months. My first professional manager is still my sales coach and a dear friend. His name is Town. He lives out in California. Townsend, we call him Town. And he has been a blessing to my life. I didn't know when I was a 25-year-old kid living in Seattle, and he lived in California and working for this man, that I would still have him in my lifeboat and have access to him. One of the most patient people in the world. And he helps me navigate through a lot of my business challenges, which is helpful. So I tried to, John, align myself with people that I compartmentalized, that Tommy was my spiritual guy. Town's one of my professional guys. My best friend in the world, Dustin, was my best man at my wedding. He was my college freshman roommate, and we've been friends 25 plus years by now. The one guy in the world that knows me better than my wife and will not accept my bullshit at any level at any time. It's very frustrating. He's one of the smartest individuals I know, so I can't even trick him. Even though I think I'm more emotionally intelligent than him, he still got me. I am better looking and I'm tall. Nothing else, I'm taller. He's 5'10", I'm 6'3", so I always beat him up with that. I rely on Dustin a lot when I really get jammed up and I don't know who to call. That's my phone a friend or my bat signal that I typically throw up, in that scenario. And then my sister, my older sister, because she was adopted in a sense. She's gone through divorce, and some things and some hard life challenges. And she's a mother of a teenager who's experiencing challenges. So she's the most non-judgmental person in my life. What I struggle with, John, is just complaining. I feel like when I talk about my problems, I'm complaining. My dad didn't raise me to complain. I don't like hearing it sometimes. And I sit there and I'm always thinking, I am so fortunate. I am so blessed. I have a beautiful home. I have a beautiful wife. I have two beautiful kids. I have cars. I have all the crap and materialistic things. And I have gotten rid of a lot of that in terms of what my heart's desires are, but my health is okay. And I just think there's people that don't eat. There's people that struggle with, where's your next meal coming from? They can't get water in Africa, like the plights of our world. And so I'm like, I don't want to go pay $600 to tell some guy that my dad abandoned me. I kind of think, Andrew, get over it. Just get over it. And maybe I'm wrong with that. I don't know. I got to go find that out.
Yeah. And I mean, that's, I'll just make the switch over if I can be transparent about myself. Right. So part of the struggles in my mental health have been self-deprecating thoughts, right. Because of life circumstances. Right. So because of things that I didn't ask to experience, it was life, it was business, right? And then you end up taking that mirror and transferring those events over to yourself, like you're not worth something or whatever. I'm not saying you're doing this. I'm saying from my experience, that was a real challenge to take steps, because why should I do that? It's my problem is me. I was always taught from a workaholic family, just deal with it. Just keep moving forward. It's just one more load, add one more. It's one more hour. It's one more thing. Just do it. Suck it up and deal. So I get that. I understand that. But I'm saying this because I genuinely care for you and every person on this podcast who might be listening or watching. We're all worth that time, right? We're all worth that time investment in ourselves. We are. And there's no dollar amount we can put on it to say, what is my time worth to get the help that I may need? And it's okay to ask for help. So good for you for doing that. You didn't have to, but you did. And you've made progress from what you've shared here today. And that's a wonderful, powerful story. I don't know who's going to listen or who's going to be watching this podcast, but I'm certain there are people out here struggling with abandonment from many different things. And maybe it wasn't that exact scenario. So again, I just really appreciate you as a friend, as a brother, and also from a business standpoint of opportunities of working together, but more from just, your heart and knowing what you want to accomplish here today. For anyone watching who wants to connect with you, Andrew, what's the best way for them to reach out and connect with you for potentially business or just to reach out?
Yeah, I think LinkedIn is probably the easiest. And the reason why is I have my cell phone listed in my contact information. I have my email. So if you want to get to me, you got all the avenues, sans a carrier pigeon or the Pony Express. You can get to me there, and I check that stuff hourly. So I typically don't miss posts and that, because you and I comment on each other's stuff and
exactly
play around on that medium quite a bit together.
Exactly. Well, before we wrap things up here today, any final words you want to pass on to the audience or anything you want to share with them before we go?
Yeah, put down your pride. I was taught that as a young man, again, from a dad who's, and that was one of his struggles. And he will admit that as he's grown more into his faith in Christianity, that he's a proud guy. Just take care of yourself. And you're teaching me that a little bit, because I told you before we got on the video that you and I are kindred spirits, because I think we have a lot of the same background. You don't know that yet, but we'll continue to share as our relationship progresses. But my dad used to call himself a donkey. He'd always say hee-haw because he was just so daggum stubborn, be it with my mother and their marriage or whatever, you know, facet in life. And I think if he had to do it over, he would say that. And, you know, generational curses, I do unfortunately believe exist. And so what I'm most functional for, and I'm thankful that my parents, all this stuff has gone on in my life, because like I said, it's life. These are the things as a parent now I want to take. And I heard something the other day, is you pass down your wisdom, not your wounds, to your children. And that's what I'm focused on. So all the crap I may have had to deal with, it's my hope that my wife and I can, you know, navigate through that and not have our children be affected by those things. They're going to get hit with something. It's life. But boy, if I can help steer them away from one or two things, you know, I feel like I've done somewhat of a good job.
Well, I think you're doing a fantastic job, and I appreciate your transparency. And I just so appreciate you being with us here today.
We didn't cry. I'm proud. John and I were prepared, ladies and gentlemen. He's got toilet paper, though. Like, who does that? I'm sending you Kleenex for Christmas.
Me, baby. That too. Because I come prepared. I need the whole bloody roll sometimes. No. But I just, again, appreciate you, Andrew, for joining us. For our audience out there today, I'm going to give you a couple of bullets that I pulled and just wrote down a couple notes here. There's much more than what I took down. So just think about these things before we wrap it up here today. He talked about being in a very challenging place, but he's also said, if you're going through pain, making a reward from it. He said he leveraged that to be better in sports. We can do that in life. Taking those appropriate action steps. The whole feeling of being abandoned, how he said oftentimes in life, we tend to bury these things. Who can say that they haven't gone through a time like that where it's, you want to just cover something over? That's very powerful. But yet he did address it. He took those appropriate steps. And thinking about this ongoing, he also shared how some of these things have resurfaced. And for all of us, there can be things that we haven't dealt with, or maybe we have dealt with with our mental health, that we need to constantly sharpen our saw. I am not an expert in soccer, but I'm sure technique plays a major part in how you play that sport at a high level. And having coached baseball up through various stages, including high school, a pitcher's form will deteriorate over the course of a season if you're not regularly looking at that form, filming it, and analyzing it to sharpen their saw. I think we're all, let me back up here. I know we are all worth the time and effort to sharpen our saw when it comes to our mental health. For everyone watching and listening, you are worth that investment of time to sharpen your saw. If there are things you've gone over, those things you've dealt with in your past, just because you've dealt with them in the past doesn't mean that they're removed. They may still be there, and you are worth that time and investment, because in the end, your mental health matters. Thank you so much for joining us. As always, let's make this a great day, everyone.